Well, good morning. How's everybody this morning doing? All right. Well, next Sunday afternoon, we kick off VBS. Woohoo! Yeah. If you are not going to be able to participate in that in some way, I invite you to come Sunday night, at least to get a flavor for what's going on. It's kind of the family night, and it's just fun to see all the children, to see all the workers. I haven't heard what we have registered this year. She was shooting for 250, so we'll see. We'll see how many we have this year. If you are visiting with us this morning, I'm really glad that you're here. I think that hopefully you have felt the Spirit of God in this place. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out, and would love to know that you were here and who you are. And at the end of the service, you can either leave that in your chair, or I will be out in the foyer at this end of the foyer, and would love to meet you. I have a free gift for you, and love to get to know you. You don't have to fill that out, but really would enjoy getting to meet you. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the little box, and we'll get you added to the email list. How many of you have the Wiley Methodist app? Let me rephrase that. How many of you don't have the Wiley Methodist app? Oh, my goodness. Shame on you. It's free. Free's a good price, right, Larry? Yeah. Free's a good price. So, anyway, between our website and our email and our app, we try to communicate as best we can. So, run out there and grab that. Matthew 14 is where we are today. Matthew 14. I want to set this passage up a little bit. We'll pick it up in verse 22, Matthew 14, 22. But prior to what we'll read today, Jesus had just found out that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And they were actually cousins. Am I right? They were cousins, right? Yeah. And obviously, John the Baptist, he baptized Jesus, and Jesus was distraught and grieving about losing his cousin, his friend, and he went to a solitary place. And it really strikes me that he's grieving. He's lost this man that he loved, and the crowds start following him, you know, wanting something, wanting to be healed, wanting to just hear his teaching. And even in the midst of his grief, as he's in that solitary place, he says that he saw the crowd and he had mercy on them. His heart went out to them. And he ended up feeding the 5,000. Now, that's 5,000 men. And then you add the women and children into that. And so it was probably twice that. So we pick it up. He's just lost John the Baptist. He's just fed the 5,000s, and he sent the disciples off after that in a boat ahead of him, and he will catch up with them. So in verse 14:22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Now, he's doing this again. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you. We know that you are here. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak to us as only you can do in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the second half of the sermon, Unwavering Faith. Unwavering Faith. Last week, we talked about faith versus feelings. If you missed that last week, you can catch that online at wileymethodist.org or at our app. But last week, faith versus feelings. How feelings do this and how Jesus is the foundation that we stand on. So today's message is faith versus fear. Faith versus fear. Now, I was thinking about, I was thinking about this concept of fear, and when did it come in? When did it come into existence? When did we begin to fear? And it was drawn all the way back to the creation story in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord has created Adam and Eve, and we know that that they both were disobedient to what the Lord had told them, and they ate of the fruit that He had forbidden. And chapter 3, verse 9 of Genesis says, "The Lord God called to the man," this is after they had fallen and were disobedient, "Where are you?" he answered. "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So that's the first reference that we have of fear. Now, it really struck me. I've always, when I think back to creation and what I have always thought about creation, I've always associated the fall of man, the sin of man, associated that with death. That in Jesus, God said that if you eat of this fruit that I have forbidden, you will surely die. So we know that death came into the picture. We were separated from God. But guess what came with death? Fear. And so if you are fearful, I want you to, if you don't listen to anything else, hear this. If you are fearful about something, anxious about something, that doesn't come from God. Hello. I want that to sink in for a second. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. The enemy he's a great deceiver. Jesus said, if you eat of this fruit, if you're disobedient to me, if you do this, you will surely die. And what does the deceiver say to Eve? He says, you will not surely die. You won't be afraid. So Adam and Eve, they're in this garden and everything is hunky-dory and they're just great. And then sin comes into the picture. Death and fear enter the picture as well. And then throughout Scripture, if you look at Scripture all the way through, you're constantly seeing references to do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So it says it different ways, but if you look up do not be afraid or don't be afraid, it's over 100 times recorded in throughout the Bible where the Bible records either an angel or God Himself saying, don't be afraid. Why is that? Because fear through sin came into the picture. We see through in the Bible that God said to Abraham when He's sending him off on this journey, He says, don't be afraid. To Moses, when He's telling him to go back and tell the people what He plans to do, don't be afraid. And to Moses, it says to the nation of Israel, when they're afraid, when the Pharisees are coming down upon them, don't be afraid. God to Joshua, as he's entering into this new land that has been promised, don't be afraid. The angel to Mary, when he tells her that she's going to be carrying the Son of God, don't be afraid. To the shepherds, the angels to the shepherds, don't be afraid. Jesus, after He's resurrected, He comes to the disciples, and they're scared to death. That He's a ghost, and they've all these different things are flying through their minds, and He says, don't be afraid. And then this passage today, as Peter is in the boat, and the waves are crashing in on them, and Jesus comes strolling out on the water, Jesus tells them, don't be afraid. So let's look. I want us to understand very clearly that fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. So let's kind of unpack this a little bit. The first thing, the Bible says faith overcomes fear when we keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the focal point. is Jesus. Now, in the passage that we read today, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, Jesus, they were terrified. There it is, fear. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. And Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Say it with me. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter's focusing right on Jesus, and he's seeing, it's like, he's walking on the water. I mean, he didn't see that every day. If it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. Now, and then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So notice what's happening here. Jesus is doing something that actually defies the laws of nature. Okay, it's not every day we see somebody walking on the water. You've probably heard the joke where the preachers and the priest and the rabbi, I'm not going to tell it, but where they, going across and they think we ought to tell him where the rocks are. You've heard the joke. Come on. I'm not going to bore you with the joke. But it's not every day we see somebody walking on the water. I probably should have told that joke. Half of you are going, what? No, I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to tell it. I'll tell it to you later. But it's not every day we see that. And Peter, he fixes his eyes on Jesus and he says, hey, that's Jesus. He wouldn't let me drown. So he said, if that's you, Jesus, tell me to come out and walk on the water. And then Peter gets out of the boat, walks on the water. Can you imagine what the other disciples are thinking? Secondly, the Bible says faith fails. Hello, it fails when we focus on the waves instead of Jesus. And you notice again with Peter, when he's focused on Jesus, he's doing miraculous things. He's not fearful. I don't care who it is, you're still thinking, I don't think I want to step out in the boat. Number one, I'll sink. Number two, there's a storm happening right now. There's waves crashing in everywhere. And when he keeps his eyes focused on Jesus, he overcomes the fear. But when he takes his eyes, and look in verse 30, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. There it is. Fear enters back into, take your eyes off of Jesus in our circumstances. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, fear enters back into the picture. He was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Ye of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And so again, as we go through life, as we go through things that make us fearful, who are we watching? Jesus or the waves? Jesus or the waves crashing around us? And then finally, the Bible says that faith leads us to worship the one who saves us, to worship the one who saves us. You know, it's amazing how when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we see what Jesus can do in our lives. I don't know how many times I've seen that where our circumstances may be that there's no way out of this. Quickly, I hadn't planned on sharing this, but I will. When Cheryl and I were going through the transition to ministry, it took, you've heard the story several times, but it took a year or two before things began to really kind of fall in place. And that year or two, financially, things were bad. Financially, things were bad. And you know what? In the midst of all of that, Cheryl and I never missed a payment on one thing. And it certainly wasn't because we had the income flowing in to take care of those things. Just when we would come to the place where we thought, we're not going to be able to make the house payment this month, something or someone would step in into that situation. On numerous occasions, something or someone would step in and would be a provider of the grace of God. So, When we trust in the Lord, and He is faithful, that leads us to worship the one who saves us. These disciples, they're sitting in the boat and they see that Jesus can even overcome the laws of nature, and it causes them, in verse 33, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So I guess I want to ask you this morning, what are you fearful of today? Just in your own mind, in your own heart, kind of toss that around for a second. What are you afraid of? Some of us perhaps don't think we measure up. We're not good enough. Somehow we think maybe, I mean, we're not good enough for even for Jesus to love us, much less anybody else. Maybe we're afraid we're not worthy enough. Perhaps we are afraid of being alone. Just lonely. Perhaps we are afraid of not being loved. Perhaps we have a fear of the future, what the future holds, perhaps medically, financially, relationally, just fearing the future. Perhaps we think that our sin is too great even for God to love us. Our sin exceeds his ability, his capacity for mercy. There is a song that I want you to listen to. It's really been striking to me these last few weeks. It's come out. It's by a man named Zach Williams, which I'd never heard of Zach Williams, but he's got several new hit songs and Christian songs. A very powerful song, "Fear Is a Liar." Now, I want you to listen to this song and notice that fear is not this intangible thing out there. Notice he says, fear, he is a liar. Truth, Jesus is truth. The enemy is a liar. And so this is not this abstract, fear is not this abstract thing out there. Fear comes from the enemy. Fear came into the picture through sin. And so just listen to the words of this song as we play it. Go ahead, Lee.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough, put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar, he will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar, he will rob your rest, steal your happiness. let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love's all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Oh, let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear.
Romans 8 says it this way, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy is another translation for that word. The word that really stuck out to me on that passage, he did not receive a spirit of fear that makes you a slave again to fear. So fear came into the picture through sin in the garden, and fear and death were taken care of through Christ on the cross. And so what Paul is saying in Romans here is that don't come back into this condition of fear once again. You've already been delivered from fear and death through Christ. This meal is a reminder. Jesus, when he set up this meal for us, he said to remember him. Remember the sacrifice. Remember what is being purchased for you. That purchase was made through his broken body. He was broken so that you and I might be whole. He was broken so that you and I might be whole, so you and I would not have to fear death, and would not have to fear anything. His broken body assures us of that. And his blood was spilled and shed for us so that we would have eternal life. And this meal is a reminder that he has overcome fear and death. The meal is, the invitation comes from Christ. It's not my invitation, it's not our church's invitation. This table is the Lord's table, and the invitation is the Lord's invitation. And the invitation is, if you have called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you repent of your sins, you're welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of this church or this denomination. We invite you, if Jesus is your Lord and you repent of your sin. So our participation in this table begins with repentance. I read a devotional just this morning that was talking about repentance, and it was very interesting. He said we hear that word repentance, and we have a negative connotation to that word. It's like it's bad, but repentance is Christ saying to us to change our behavior because that current behavior leads to death, and in today we'll add fear. It leads to death and fear. It's like if when we're not walking with the Lord, our behavior is destructive. Repentance is a glorious thing because it's Christ reminding us, no, that's not the way to abundant life. Repent, turn around, and go the other direction. So repentance is an awesome, loving word. And so that's how we come to this table today, is in repentance. If you would just bow your heads and in your own heart, pray your own personal prayer of repentance to a holy and loving God. In the precious name of Jesus, you are forgiven, church.